Our reading from the Hebrew Bible continues in our read from 2 Samuel. We were looking at this passage, all these passages from the lectionary last week in the Bible study, and we realized two things. One, there's nothing new under the sun. What you hear in the Bible, you'll read in your headlines this coming week. And also, that this story is fairly racy, that it probably would make it has made the plot line for many soap operas, so it gets juicier. Hear these words. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. When the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. Nathan came to David and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup, and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he has no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are that man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. And I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading this morning is on page 182, and we'll be looking at chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, 'When he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people.' When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God.
The gospel lesson continues from the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We continue John 6, verses 24 through 35. You can find this on the left side of page 92 if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible. And if you recall, this follows closely on the heels of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men and all the women and children. And then also last week, Jesus walking on the water. And the people are now trying to find where Jesus has gone. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And the crowd said to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And he said to them, then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has given each of us many gifts. To remind you of some of the words of Scripture, the gifts that Christ gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Truly, Christ has given each of us many, many gifts. And it could be argued that the most significant gift of all is the gift of Jesus Himself. When we turn to that gospel lesson from John, we recognize that the people were not as clear about the gift that Jesus was offering them as he would have liked. The people came, as Jesus pointed out, not because they had seen these wonderful miracles that he was performing, but it was Jesus' estimations that the people came because they wanted more bread. They wanted to be filled. And time after time, when we read the Bible, Jesus is always eager to meet physical needs first, to feed the people. But then Jesus wants to go farther. Jesus wants to offer them a spiritual gift of eternal life, if you will. And so we need to think about the gifts that Jesus himself offers to us. At that time, and in fact through all time, bread was the most basic form of food. It still is today. People needed bread in order to survive. And so many times in Scripture, Jesus uses the metaphor of bread because he recognizes that people need sustenance. They need to have food for their bodies, but they also need to have food for their souls. They need to find meaning in life. And Jesus tells them that he is the bread of life. So time after time, Jesus uses the metaphor of bread as a way of reminding us what it is that he is offering us. And today, as we read in Scripture, Jesus is also offering us the bread of life and calling us to spiritual maturity. One of the things we recognize quickly as we think about that is that each of us is at a different place in our walk with Jesus. Each of us is at a different level, if you will, of spiritual maturity. So think about that. And what I'd like to do is take you through a similar metaphor, but rather a metaphor of modern bread, at least in the North American culture. A metaphor of bread to help you think about how it is that Jesus offers us in 2009 spiritual food, and how also in this day and age we are at different places in spiritual maturity, at different places in our walk with Christ. I don't know if any of you have been looking at this up here, but here in front of you, in my hand, is bread that may be familiar. Anybody recognize this? Some of you do. This is Wonder Bread. How many of you grew up with Wonder Bread? It is a true wonder. Well, Wonder Bread, at least for North Americans, is the classic thing. When I was a kid, it was on every table. If you walked into a restaurant and ordered a sandwich, it came on Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread is that amazing white, spongy bread. It tastes so good, it almost melts in your mouth. Many of us, as I said, grew up with it. Well, it turns out that Wonder Bread, after you've eaten it, a lot of times you don't feel satisfied. You really want to eat more. And partly that's because Wonder Bread has had so much of the nutrition processed out of it. There's not a lot to it other than good taste. Well, Wonder Bread is my metaphor for the beginning Christian. The beginning Christian who remembers the stories of Jesus from the Bible when she grew up in the church. But she's not really a serious Christian. She wants to take it fairly easy. The Wonder Bread Christian comes on Christmas Eve and comes on Easter Sunday. And if you ask her, she might come a couple other times during the years if it's convenient. The Wonder Bread Christian doesn't read the Bible on a regular basis. In fact, she kind of dozes through when the Bible reading happens in church. But just like many of her brothers and sisters, the Wonder Bread Christian does have a Bible. It's there at home. It's up on the bookshelf. It's never opened, but it spends a lot of time gathering dust. The Wonder Bread Christian looks around at the other people in church and recognizes that some of those folks have a closer relationship with Jesus. But she really can't figure out that whole stuff about God. And in her mind, she likes where she is. The next kind of bread is also wonder. And believe me, I'm not making a commercial for or against these breads. But this one says, wonder made with whole grain white. Wonder bread made with whole grain, still white bread. And this bread showed up the last few years as people got more conscious about their health. It is white bread, but they throw in a little more whole wheat flour so that they can put on the label whole wheat bread and people take it home. It's more nutritious than its Wonder Bread cousin, but just like its initial classic white cousin, when you eat Wonder Bread made with whole grain, you still feel hungry. You're still not quite satisfied. Well, the whole grain white Christian is that person who remembers growing up in the church. They like the Bible stories. But this Christian is more willing to try to figure out what it is the Bible has to say. The whole wheat white Christian often will read ahead in the lectionary, reads along with the pastor in church, and pays attention to the sermon. The whole grain white Christian is interested in this idea about becoming a disciple, but he doesn't really know the next step. But he is intrigued by this idea of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So finally, the third bread up here, and it's amazing, it struck me this morning. The Wonder Bread is the largest. It looks huge in volume, but it doesn't weigh very much. And then when you get to the other end of the spectrum, it's smaller, but it weighs about twice as much. And this bread is whole grain, 100% whole wheat bread. It's not made by Wonder. I don't know that Wonder makes a whole grain bread, but this is whole wheat bread. Now, this is the bread that since they've been making bread, this is what it is. This is the bread that our grandparents and our great-grandparents ate. This is bread as it's meant to be. Now, it is a whole lot healthier for you because it's 100% whole wheat. And after you've eaten this, you feel satisfied. You feel well fed when you've had a sandwich on whole wheat bread. Well, what about the whole wheat Christian? The whole wheat Christian comes to service every Sunday. Always there in the pew. The whole wheat Christian listens to the sermon but has her own ideas about what the scripture was really saying because she read ahead in the lectionary and was ready on Sunday morning. In fact, the whole grain Christian has a habit of reading the Bible and praying every day. And she is intrigued with Wesley's means of grace. She likes this idea of trying to figure out how to pray. She has tried journaling. Writing in a journal every day. She tries prayer. She's interested in the church. She has volunteered to be on a committee. She is part of the Sunday school teacher staff. And she's even interested in working outside the church on mission projects. And most of all, the whole grain Christian realizes that she's very lucky that God has provided her so many ways to be of service. Three different breads, three different levels of maturity, if you will, on a spiritual walk with Christ. Now, my point this morning is not to make you feel guilty or to say, oh, you're down here, you're Wonder Bread and you're whole wheat. That's not the point at all. The point is, in a lighthearted way, to think about how it is our relationship with God and how do we connect with God. But my brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this. Jesus is saying to each of us, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This morning, when we come forward to Jesus' table, we will be offered to partake of Jesus, to partake of the bread of life. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us fill ourselves completely with that true bread of life. Amen.